Hey folks, welcome to the Hang Your Own Hang podcast, a monthly podcast about hammocks, hammock camping, and everything related. Our goal is to enlighten you if you're a ground dweller and to entertain you if you're already a tree dweller. I'm Jonathan Kupel, and this is my co-host, Mark Baldwin.
Evening, Jonathan. How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Good, good. Just breaking out all the winter gear and re-listening to old podcasts with this winter weather coming on to us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've already been looking at the possibility of doing some winter camping this year.
Yeah, looking at the same thing, you know, getting everything together and all, doing a little projects here and there and all, so.
Yeah, it's too bad we've got some guests from a little bit farther south. I don't think they're going to be feeling the vortex.
No. Although, is it actually a vortex?
I think it's a vortex.
I heard something on the news today, and they were discussing whether, I forgot if it was a polar vortex or a Arctic storm or something like that.
You know, when we were kids, we had a name for it. It was called winter.
Yeah, no, same with us. I never heard of this either until I came to Buffalo.
Well, on to the interview. Mark, this week's interview should be pretty fun. We've got a couple folks from the Palmetto State Hangers to talk to.
Yeah, it should be a good talk here we're going to have. I think it's a lot of information for listeners and people on the message boards and all about what these hangs are all about.
Mm-hmm. So let's start with some introductions. John Gresham goes by Gresh. I think that's your trail name, right?
That's my name everywhere. I've been going by that for years.
First, I just want to acknowledge when Mark and I were starting to put together the podcast really early on, I talked a little bit to Derek Hansen, and I also got a chance to talk a little bit to you about the direction I was taking it, and you had some really great suggestions. So this is a great forum for me to say thank you for what you've done to help us get the podcast off the ground and to support me in the back end.
Oh, no, I think it's been fantastic, and I'm just glad that it's gone in the direction that it's gone. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
Thank you. Tell me a little bit about, or tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and where you're coming from. You've been camping for a long time. Just a little bit ago when you started hammock camping?
It's actually kind of a sad-ish story. I camped growing up with the Boy Scouts and all that other good stuff, and then started smelling motor oil and perfume and got out of it. and then the sad part comes when my brother died several years ago, and I really needed something to take my mind off of that. And so I decided that I was going to go out and get into nature and get into woods and start doing things like that to keep myself occupied. And ever since then, it's just been kind of a snowball of things that have to do with it. I jumped in right off the bat with the hammock camping. I haven't even looked at a tent since I was a wee lad. So it's been kind of deep in from there.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for your loss, but it sounds like you found a great way to memorialize your brother's memories. What do you do besides hammock camping? Do you something in real life?
I'm an office manager for an advertising publication here in South Carolina. I'm a student. I'm a full-time English major, so I can go teach.
Oh, great.
And I'm a single dad, so I've got a little 3-year-old monster that I chase around all the time, and I'm looking forward to getting him out camping and things like that. So.
Oh, you can never start too early with that.
No, you really can't. It's surprising. You know, we're talking about, you know, group hangs and things like that. And while my son is 3 and I'm not quite ready to make that jump with him yet, he is not the youngest person that I've seen out of these things. So.
And then Dawn Callahan, would you rather go by Dawn or Junebug?
Either one.
All right. So Junebug, a lot of our listeners are probably going to remember you. You were actually one of our guests on our Women's Only podcast from earlier in the year. And really appreciated what you did there and what you brought to the table. So thank you for that.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. An opportunity maybe for me to ask a little bit more about your background and for you to share a little bit more about yourself and where you came from, how you got into camping, and what brought you to hammock camping.
Well, I grew up camping with my family. We started out tent camping, but very quickly went to travel trailer camping. But still, you know, mostly we're outside and just inside for sleeping. Grew up going to the lake a lot, going to camp at the beach. And I was involved in Girl Scouts growing up. So we did tent camping and cabin camping with Girl Scouts and also with my youth group. When I went to college, I kind of got out of camping and didn't really camp through my college years or through about the first 15 years of my real adult life. And I got into geocaching, which got me back out into the woods. And I really realized how much I missed the woods and just how much of a peace that would come over me when I would just walk through the woods. And so through a geocaching friend is how I found out about hammocks and hammock camping.
Well, that's really cool. So we have President Clinton to thank for your participation in geocaching.
Yes, I guess so.
It's like, thanks, Obama, except not really.
Well, thanks, Bill Clinton. So that's great. What are you doing in real life? I think most of the people that know you on the forums probably think that hammock camping is your whole life.
That is so true. it's a big part of my life, but it's not my main part of my life, if you can believe that. My husband and I are house parents at a Baptist children's home. And so we raise 8 little girls who keep us very busy. Our girls range in age from 6 to 12, and we're always on the go. So hammock camping is my stress relief. And that's how I decompress and just, you know, relax and recharge so that when I come back, you know, I'm full on and ready to go. But our girls love to camp too, and love to be outside and in nature. And I'm sure I have a little bit of influence with that. But they love hammock camping. When I take them camping, we all sleep in hammocks, which is a lot of work to set up 10 hammocks. But they really enjoy it. So we don't do it as often as they would like, but they do enjoy it a good bit.
Do you guys hammock camp indoors as well, or hammock indoors?
No, they would all love to have hammocks in their rooms, but we haven't done that yet. Not yet.
All right, so we might as well get right into this then. Palmetto State Hangers, you see them on the message boards and all. How about an introduction? What exactly is the Palmetto State Hangers for either one?
I'll take this one. It's really a formalization of a group of hangers that existed prior to the group itself. You know, my first camping trip since what we previously discussed was with this same group that eventually became Palmetto State Hangers. And so there has been a core group of friends really throughout the state that had been camping for years prior to my introduction to them. And so Palmetto State is really just basically the next evolution in that group. You know, it started out as a loose bunch of friends, and then it became, you know, an organized bunch of friends, more or less.
Mm-hmm. So now the actual group itself was formed in 2013?
We chartered, if that's what you want to call it, in 2013, okay. And that was our first official event. We did that at Fall Sprawl 2013.
Okay, but it was, so it's, unofficially, it's been more or less together a lot longer than that, just as a group of friends, though.
Exactly. Fall Sprawl, the event itself, predates the group. That's been going on since, I think, 2011. Dawn, is that pretty accurate?
2011. Yeah, pretty much before the group became a group, there was a Fall Sprawl 2011 and then Spring Swing 2012. And then Fall Sprawl 2012 was my first group hang. And pretty much up until that point, there had just been the fall and the spring hangs. There wasn't a whole lot going on between those two hangs, which were 6 months apart. When I went to Fall Sprawl 2012, that was the first group hang for a good many people who are active in our group now. And so it was kind of like a launching of a lot of friendships that came out of that hang. Mm-hmm. And I went home, and I think others went home with the idea of, we don't want to wait 6 months to do this again. And because the next hang planned would be Spring Swing 2013, and that was 6 months away. So I went home and said, hey, can anybody host a hang? And the consensus was, go for it. So I'm a planner, so I plan two hangs. And the first one I planned is the first one that is the first hang that Gresh came to, which was just a month or so after Fall Sprawl 2012. And we just started having more frequent group hangs, smaller ones, but some deep friendships grew out of that and kind of solidified the group to where we were hanging a lot more often.
Right, so now, how many group hangs do you have in a calendar year? Do you have, you know, certain ones? Okay, you know, winter we have this one, spring, I mean, do you have 4, 6, 2?
Yes.
We have, yeah. Go ahead, Dawn. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, we do have one each season. Okay. We have a Frozen Butt in the winter. We have Spring Swing in the spring. We have Swamp Butt in the summer when it's hot. Then we have Fall Sprawl in the fall. And then in between all of those four big hangs, we have smaller hangs that may have anywhere from 5 to 20 people come to those. Basically, if somebody wants to have a hang, they'll say, hey, well, I want to have a hang. And, you know, we'll plan a hang anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months out. And whoever wants to come can come. And so I would say on average, we probably have a hang every month to 6 weeks or so, it seems. Oh, wow. Lately anyway.
Wow. And then for people, you know, attendance sizes, you said, you know, your smaller ones, maybe 5 to 20 people, your four big ones, what do you on average usually get for that?
We've had about 40 people, I guess. Okay. 40 to 50. I'd say around 40 for all of them except Fall Sprawl. And then Fall Sprawl is our biggest hang. That's our mm-hmm. big event that we do in the fall. It kicks off our year. And we've had anywhere from 75 to 110 people come to that. So it grows just about every year. It's grown by about 20%. 50. And we, 50%.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big percent.
Yeah, is it really 50% it's grown? I guess
every,
so, yeah.
Every year has seen a 50% increase in growth and in raffle proceeds.
Wow. Right. And so, we also have people travel from 5, 6 states that will come to Fall Sprawl. We've had people as far away as, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Florida, Louisiana, that will come to Fall Sprawl. So it is our biggest event that we put a lot of effort into. We do demos. We have vendors come, cottage vendors, and we do our big gear raffle, and we donate all of the proceeds from our raffle. We donate to the South Carolina State Park System and their programs. And so we're really proud of that because we've been able to really do some things that help promote camping in our state.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So now the Palmetto State Hangers, at what point did you say this is more than just a couple people hanging out, going out on hammock hanging for the weekend or something to actually organizing into an actual group.
There has never been anything more spur of the moment in the history of Spurs moments or history than the genesis of Palmetto State Hangers. There we did, God, Don, was it the midweek hang or some small rinky-dink hang we did? Just as a group of friends, probably 7 or 8 people here in the middle of South Carolina at Sesquicentennial State Park. And the topic of organizing had come up maybe once before and was largely dismissed, and it came up again. And between the 7 or 8 people who were there at this particular hang, we were like, okay, let's do it. And we had a vote right there on the spot for officers. And we started planning for the actual kickoff of the group for that year's fall sprawl, which was 2013.
Wow. We pretty much had an idea and had no idea if it would work. We just thought, let's give it a try and see what happens. And I think we were all shocked at how well it worked.
I know I was.
Yeah, I was too.
Now, what makes Palmetto different than any other groups or camping groups or anything?
I think first and foremost, what makes us different is that we're kind of the cookie cutter. Like we are the mold. Mm-hmm. We were, to the best of my knowledge, and I may be wrong. I have been like once or twice before in my life. But to the best of my knowledge, we were, at the time, the only hammock camping club in the U.S. I would say world, but that's kind of my ego talking and not necessarily facts. But to really, to the best of my knowledge, we were the only hammock camping club in the U.S. And we've had several reach out to us and say, where does your success come from, and how has it worked, and what did you do to put it together? And so I think what makes us special is that what we do sets the trend. And I know that sounds really, you know, really big headed of me, but that's kind of the way I see it.
Right, right. No, it makes sense. So since that 2013, when you finally said, okay, this is it, we're going to form, how many members did you start out with?
7 or 8, just at that time. But it's going, I can't
say. Well, no, not at Fall Sprawl when we actually launched. We had more than that.
Yeah, we did. We got our
inaugural. We probably had 45, maybe? Okay. And 40?
That was a leap of faith on their part. I mean, that was.
Sure was, yeah.
Because, you know, our pricing, if you want to call it that, hasn't changed. It's $20 for a year. Mm-hmm. But this is us saying at this event, say, hey, we're actually, you know, coming together and forming a group. Put your faith in us. You know, give us your hard-earned American dollars and hopefully it won't suck. So that was a tremendous leap of faith on the part of, you know, 40 or so people. And since then, it's really blossomed.
Right.
So it's been probably just over 3 years now. How many members are you up to now?
Paying members, that's a number that Dawn would have. Paying members.
I haven't even added them all up from Fall Sprawl. I would say that we're probably at about
my ballpark
60 right now, 60, 70 right now.
Okay.
But it will increase as the year goes on. Mm-hmm. Each event hang that we have, more people will join. A lot of people weren't able to come to Fall Sprawl this year due to Hurricane Matthew. We ended up having to change our venue with less than 24 hours notice.
Oh, wow.
And there were some people that weren't able to come and they haven't, you know, given their dues yet for this year. So that number will go up. I think we finished last year probably around 80 or so, okay. 90 maybe, something like that.
Since day one, though, and this might just be me, but I've always looked at our Facebook page, and if you're a member of the Facebook page, I've always said that you're a member, sure. And you have a voice, and you know, right. You can be a part of this thing. So there's a hierarchy there between members, and you know, just straight out Facebook page members, it's something like 500. And then the people that are not second class citizens, like the people that actually pay to play.
Well, it's true. We have everybody who's part of our Facebook page and that comes to our hangs are Palmetto State members, Palmetto State Hangers members. But we differentiate if you're a supporting member, that means mm-hmm. that you've given dues and helped support to keep those hangs going.
And there are more benefits than just going to the hang, but, membership wise, it's been enough to sustain us for 3 years.
Right.
Oh, that's great. Now, do you have, with some of these hangs getting this so big, especially your fall sprawl, do you have any sponsors, any of the cottage vendors or anything that are helping out on that?
Several years ago, I guess it might have even been the second fall sprawl we did as a group, I reached out to several of the cottage vendors and started up a program where they would help us out with gear and loaner programs and things like that to, you know, it's basically a scratch your back, scratch my back sort of situation where mm-hmm. if somebody shows up that doesn't have gear and wants to try it. So like, hey, check this out. I've got a dream hammock right here with your name on it. You can try it all weekend. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
Big, big pimp right there for Randy at Dream Hammock. And then, you know, we get people who are trying out what we want them to try out. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically where the sponsorship started and ended. Like we haven't had any kind of corporate sponsorship monetarily at all. It's all just been that loaner gear stuff and contributions to raffles.
Right. Oh, that's great. Yeah. And everything helps out and, you know, it's a lot of work and I'm sure it's a lot of things behind the scenes that, you know, even the people that are there every year, they don't see what you guys put in.
so much.
I usually try to plan a small hang right after fall sprawl, and I just call it my recovery hang. Because fall sprawl is a lot of fun, but it is a lot of work. And so I just need a place just to chill after that.
I served as club president for almost 3 years. It might have actually mm-hmm. been 3 years, and I just stepped down this October. So good. So good. Thoroughly, thoroughly good to not have to actually worry about all that work that goes into it.
I slightly worried that Gresh might not be able to release that, but he's released it really well.
So,
I think he's enjoyed not having to have any responsibilities anymore.
You know, it's really hard because, you know, I've been an officer of the club since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't want to steer us off course here, but you know, the metaphor that I gave somebody else was that I'm letting somebody else drive a car that I spent 3 years building, and you just got to kind of let it happen. So,
right. It's grown and let it go. That's still, I mean, you're still involved in all, so it's, you know, you still can have a say in all.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. When
whether they like it or not.
When I officially stepped down, I made my little concession speech or whatever, and I got pulled to the side by Kevin, the current president, and he was like, so we're going to make a new position for you where you're basically just doing the same thing you were doing, except I get the credit.
So then he will basically just be a puppet government then.
Yeah, basically.
Exactly. Pulling the strings behind the scenes. And he's president in name only.
No, I'm in all seriousness, joking aside, I'm really excited for the direction that he'll take it. And I think it's in the best hands that it possibly could. So
that's great.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
Good. Now, does the group get into anything else besides the hammock camping at all? Any social activism or?
Absolutely not. Nope. And I hate to, you know, cut you off like that, but we've all agreed since day one that we're not an activist group. Mm-hmm. There was a thing that came up several years ago in Charleston, South Carolina, where they were doing a ban on hammocks in county parks. Do you remember that, Dawn?
Yes.
And people,
I think it was the city parks, yes.
Either way, city or county, one. you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. But there were calls for us to get involved in that.
Right. And,
you know, I spoke with several people from the county. I spoke with several people from the city. I spoke with people who are in the hammock industry. Eno reached out to me. You know, Kamek reached out to me. Just several people who I guess have a vested interest in people using hammocks. There were both sides of it, and we decided amongst ourselves at that time that we were not activists. We were we were enthusiasts, and we were not going to get involved in anything politicized or anything like that.
I would say that we have a part of us is education, but not activism. Like we will do. We have done some education as far as like a hammocking 101 for a state park or a program that they have, or doing some demos, things like that, where we teach people about hammocks and how to hammock responsibly. But we don't see ourselves as ones to go out and, like Gresh said, be an activist in any political arena.
Right.
We're lovers, not fighters.
Right. No, that's good. And then basically, if somebody's on a hang and just teaching them, if they have a question on a type of suspension or something, that's basically the extent. Outside of that, it's you're out in the woods, you're having fun with friends, and you all happen to be in a hammock, and that's about it.
What else does there need to be?
Exactly. Exactly. Cool. Now, getting into that, do you have any, you know, codes of ethics where, okay, you know what, these things are off limits, we're all, you know, we don't want any problems amongst members, everybody, there's no politics, no religions, no stuff
like
that.
You basically just hit all of it. I mean, there, what we do have is on paper, and it's there, but it's loose, and it basically boils down to no politics, no religion, no drinking, no drugs, and that's that's not a thing that we've had a problem with in 3 years, and I don't anticipate that, you know, it will be a problem. So hooray for us for having people that don't suck.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to be responsible, to abide by the rules and regulations where we camp, and to always leave a place better than we found it. And, you know, those general things that most folks who go out into the woods or camping probably adhere to. So just a lot of like-mindedness and those kinds of things.
That's great. That's great. Now,
we want to keep it mellow when we're in the woods.
Yeah. And especially, you know, especially the way things have been the last few months and all.
Exactly.
It's a lot of times it's just easier to just say, you know what, keep it at home, keep it somewhere else. Right. But
I mean, if somebody wants to have a discussion, they can go over to their campsite and they can have a discussion, but just not in the group setting. We want to keep that mellow.
Yeah, and just, you know, prevent the fires before they even start.
Right. Exactly. That's the best way you could possibly have put it.
Yeah. So now, when you're out in the group hang, do you have other people, campers, tents, anything like that besides hammocks?
Absolutely. Don, I was going to give you an opportunity to talk because I feel like I've been running through this thing like nobody's business. But guess what?
Oh, you want me to? Are you going to talk?
I'm not. This is going to be me. Oh, okay. Because you know what? It was my girlfriend that showed up in a tent at False Paw.
You run with that, man. You run with that.
I'm going to own it. And
okay.
I've said for a long time now that, or, you know, and this may just be me, but the point is to get people out and not necessarily get people hanging. It just happens to be that most of us do use hammocks. And so the idea is that we get people out into nature, learning how to do so responsibly and effectively. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to invoke things like the 3/5 rule if you're in a tent or anything like that. You know, you will be treated like a second-class citizen. And
only in the most loving of ways, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really and truly, as long as you're
I tell people, tent, you're absolutely welcome to bring a tent, but we won't promise that we won't try to convert you.
Exactly. Oh, And that's part of that's part of the point of the loaner gear program is if you show up in a tent or if you're, you know, cowboy camper that just doesn't, you know, sleep in any kind of shelter or whatever, it's like, hey, you know, check this out. We have these available for you if you decide you want to do it the right way instead of the garbage way.
And we actually encourage people not to just run out and buy gear. Yeah, don't go out and just buy a hammock. Come to a hang. Let us loan you some gear and check out a bunch of different options before you decide what to plunk your money down on. Because so many people go out and they just buy the first thing they come across and then they realize it really wasn't what they wanted. And so we actually encourage people to come to a hang. We'll help you out, outfit you either with the loaner gear or with our own personal loaner stuff, and let you see some different things before you decide.
Do you see a lot of people that were there, you know, their first year there, they're in tents, and then next thing, you know, they come to the next hang and they're fully decked out and all?
More often than not, no, because I feel like most of the people who show up because they know somebody and they've already been proselytized to. You know, yeah. If somebody shows up and they bring a friend, that friend is going to say, oh yeah, they wouldn't let me bring a tent, so they hooked me up with their extra gear, and so we're doing it that way. So the conversion's been done 9 times out of 10.
Although there have been some, I know that a paddling trip that I went on, there were about 18 people on the trip. All but two ladies were in hammocks. And by the end of that trip, those two were like, I am done sleeping on the ground. Get me in a hammock. So they were ready to be elevated.
Now, if somebody is listening to us and then said, you know what, I would like to join. How does one go ahead and join the group?
Go, Don, go. You're in charge of this one. Go, this one's yours.
Who's the membership chair?
That's me. I would first say find us on Facebook. We have a group, Palmetto State Hangers. So if you put it in your search thing, it'll pop right up and join the group. And if you want to become a supporting member, dues can be sent via PayPal. And do I give that address?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, well, our PayPal address is palmettostatehangers@gmail.com. Send us your money.
Even better than sending
my friends and family. Yeah. even better than sending it via PayPal. Come to a hang and give it in cash, and we will plop it right there into the treasury, and it will help us all get to hang more often.
That's great. That's great. Now, we just went over all the evolution of the group and all. Being from the beginning and up to now, how much different is it from just a group of friends hanging out, going out in the camping, hanging in hammocks, as opposed to now like an actual organized group? I mean, as with you two being so involved, I mean, it's got to be almost a lot more work now.
Gravitas. I mean, it is. It all boils down to gravitas. If we were just a group of friends, and let me offer this as an example. There's a state park here. It's Drear Island State Park, and their primitive area is specifically for youth groups. Like, that's it. If you're not a youth group, don't even bother. Beautiful place. Beautiful. Out on the peninsula on Lake Murray, centrally located in the state. It's just absolutely idyllic. And it's perfect for our swamp butt because it's hot and sticky and we want to be on the lake. And because of who we are and what we've done in the state park community, if you want to call it that, we have been able to, for the past 3 years, gain a variance. And they're like, yeah, you can come camp with us in the primitive area that's not for people like you. Come on, let's do this. At our fall sprawl event, we do that at Santee State Park. And because of the relationship that we've built with the state park system, in particular, one of their region chiefs for that particular area, because of the way we've grown, we've outgrown that area. And he's like, look, you know, you're not supposed to camp over in this area, but if you want to set up some kind of a no impact camping, you know, I'll allow it, just, you know, because of what you guys do and how much y'all have helped us out. So it really boils down to gravitas. If we're just, you know, a couple of bro bros out there drinking Budweiser's in the woods, they're going to be like, nah, you got to go. But because of the thing that we've built, we've got a lot of leeway, if you want to put it that way.
Right. We've said from the beginning that all we really have is our reputation. Mm-hmm. And that's what we stand on. And so that was really important to us, was building that relationship in the state park system specifically, was being able to, for the state parks to see, hey, we're not, you know, they see a bunch of adults going and camping and they rightly so often, you know, have adults going and camping that don't behave very well. And so, you know, when, and then you compound that with, you know, 20 or 30, they don't know what that's going to look like. And so for them to see us being, you know, having a good time, you know, leaving a place, you know, super clean, being friendly while we're there, helping out, you know, whatever it is, we've built that reputation over these years to now where we can go into a park we've never camped in before and they've heard of our group. Because in the state park system, you know, they've all heard about us, which makes us feel really good that we have such a good name with, you know, throughout the system there.
One of my horn toot moments that happened a couple of years ago was the internal newsletter or whatever for the state park system was specifically about us, like in its entirety.
Oh, wow.
And a couple people from the state park system sent that to me. And they were like, hey, check this out. And I spread that around like it was, you know, made out of gold. But that's exactly why we're able to do the things that we can do, is because we have that relationship.
Well, I think one of my proudest moments has been when we were helping with the Palmetto Campout, which is a program in the state parks, two or three of the state parks that have it, where they take up to 30 families over a weekend and they teach them how to camp. And we've been able to not only financially assist in that program, we've been able to volunteer and also do hammock demos. And one of the years that we were there, the state park director and his wife came down and personally thanked us for helping. And I thought, this isn't, I don't know, it was just a moment where I was like, I couldn't believe that he was thanking us. And we feel so appreciative to the park system for what all they have allowed us to be able to do. So that was a very neat moment.
Did you get him to get into switch to a hammock?
He was in one. If memory serves, he's actually, you know, been using one. The region chief for that area also, you know, when we first met him, we were like, hey, you want to come try our hammocks out? He's like, nah, I've already got mine set up. Get on my leather scrubs.
That's right. There are a good many of rangers that were in hammocks. So, for sure.
Well, that's great.
We've been talking about the Palmetto State Hangers in the context of it having grown out from a group hang. I wonder if a bunch of our listeners are saying, what's a group hang? Maybe we should talk about that for a second. What is a group hang?
Well, a group hang is an organized camping trip that is publicized in advance so that people can plan to come and attend. If it is going to be in a state park or another organized camping area, then the reservations for the sites will be made in advance, and then the word is put out that we're having this hang, and anybody that wants to come can come, and then everybody meets up on the designated days, and we camp, we hang, we eat well always, and we always eat well.
When I look at the pictures for the group hanging, it tends to focus more on the food than the hanging.
Oh, my goodness. We gain weight in the woods. We always eat well. We have some amazing cooks who like to show their talents, as well as there's always plenty of bacon and usually some Spam and some other things like that. And so we always eat well. We always have a campfire, a nice group time around the campfire, just relaxing and enjoying conversing. And some people will hike. Some people might kayak if there's a body of water nearby, just all those things that you would do in the outdoors. But it really is the hang your own hang, as the title is. You can spend as much time with the group as you want, or you can spend as much time by yourself in nature as you want.
So many naps. So many naps.
So many naps. Yes. I don't take naps because I'm that little kid who feels like they're going to miss something if they go take a nap.
I feel like I'm going to miss a nap if I don't take a nap.
Well, I saw it. When I look at the comments for group hangs, there's a couple of questions I know that have come to my mind. One is, like, can anyone start a group hang? Like, how do you go about starting a group hang? Like, say I'm in the middle of, you know, East Nowheresville and I want to do a group hang. How would I do that?
It's actually kind of an interesting way you do that. You first have to petition the hang gods. There's sacrifice involved. It's really no, dead serious. The way to do it is just do it. If you're a member, if you're a member of Palmetto State Hangers and you've paid your $20 a year, we'll even pay for the site. And, you know, if it's cold outside, maybe we'll throw in for a load of firewood. But really, all it takes is for some, you know, dude to come out and be like, hey, can I start a group hang? And if people want to go, then ta-da, you've started a group hang.
You got a group
hang. It's not magic. It's just as long as there are people interested, there you go.
Yeah, and a lot of people will advertise or promote their group hangs in the hammock forums.
Right.
I think there's a forum for that, and I've posted a link to that before for our listeners. Do you guys know, is there any place else where that's commonly promoted?
We do a lot of our promotions on Facebook in our group, as well as Facebook groups of states that are, you know, within driving distance of our state.
Okay.
For a long time, I was putting stuff up on Reddit, things like that.
We've gotten some members through that too.
Yeah, we've gotten some members and met some really cool people. So it's just, if there's an outlet, I hate to say it like this because it really sounds petty, but you know, I said about a year ago that we've by and large outgrown hammock forums. Sure. And I know that they'll probably, you know, kick up some dust about that because they're proud of what they've got, maybe rightly so. But once you hit a certain level, it's kind of its own momentum. Like, it's a monster that's going to do whatever it can do. And the word is out that it exists. And so people are saying, when's the next one? When's the next one? Do we have dates for the next fall sprawl yet?
So, oh, my goodness. I can't get the dates up fast enough. I mean, I'll have them in my mind of when I think it's going to be, but I don't post and say that it's, you know, these are the dates until I've actually made the reservation, you know, just in case there's a problem and I can't get those dates. But Gresh is exactly right. People want to know, when is this? When is this? When is this? They're planning their year out. And I'm planning my year out, but some people are way ahead of me. And so I'm always trying to get those dates out because people literally plan their vacations around coming to hangs.
Wow.
So they want to get their days in for asking off at work so that they can come to these hangs later on in the year or all the way into next year. I've already got people asking, when's spring swing? You know, when is this one? And I'm like, I don't have the reservation yet. So, you know, I need to do that. Fortunately, in our state park system, we can make reservations 13 months out. So I can actually do that.
Yeah, we don't have that benefit in our park system. We're a little bit tighter than that, unfortunately. So
come hang with us. It's pretty loose.
It is. And we do hang in other places besides the state parks. We tend to have our large four large event hangs in the state parks because they do have large primitive areas that can accommodate us. But for our smaller hangs, we've gone to National forest recreation areas. We've even hung on private property, you know, maybe even some county parks. And also just going out into, we have two national forests in several sections in our state, and you can camp for free in the national forest. So we've actually done some of that. And you have a lot more options when it's a small hang versus the big group event hangs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It seems like one of the benefits of the group hangs is for people who are really new to hammock camping, in the sense that you get to see what other people have in terms of their gear and their kit and learn a lot in a much different way than you can by reading the forums or looking at literature from the cottage vendors or the regular vendors.
There is I know that. Go ahead, Gresh.
Damn right, go ahead. Walk all over me.
Okay, I'm not editing that out.
I'm cool with it.
I love you, Gresh.
I know you do. So I get away with that kind of stuff. No. And also, we laugh, but really there's no greater educational experience for somebody that's wanting to get started than to actually go and see is out there. My personal kit is a Dream Hammock Danger Bird. And I know several other people have comparable models, but they may have a different suspension. They may have fabric. So while they're looking at one particular model of hammock, they're getting access to and exposed to several different things that can be done with that. So rather than, you know, look at the Dream Hammock website and say, these are the fabrics that are available, rather than go to Warbonnet and say, you know, these are the options that you can get, they're actually seeing them. They're putting hands on tangible product. You know, they're putting butts in hammocks and saying, hey, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. This seems easier than this. And they can get a good idea of how they're going to dial in their kit before they invest a pick, because it's a huge investment if you actually get into it. We spend a lot of money pretending to be homeless.
That's one way to put it. All right. Now,
and part of the idea, especially for fall sprawl, is for it to be somewhat of an expo, in the fact that we encourage people to walk around and check out different people's setups and just say, hey, you know, what kind of tarp is this? What kind of hammock is this? Most folks don't mind at all sharing what kind of setup they have, you know, letting folks try out their hammock, lay in it, you know, look at different things. Most people love showing off their gear. So it is one of those things that we actually encourage. And we will say to people, don't be afraid to walk around and ask somebody, hey, what kind of hammock do you have? And because a lot of people might not would do that if you didn't actually invite people to do that. And so we encourage that. As a matter of fact,
at that specific event, we even set time aside for that, don't we? Like we, you know,
pretty much, time aside, yeah,
for like a tour of homes, basically. If you want to go look at something, then you know, there's going to be somebody around that you can ask questions to.
Right.
Huh. That's great. Now, what inspired you guys to start something, an actual group and something more formal, as opposed to just a group of friends hanging out?
Dawn's answer might be different from my answer, so I'm going to let her go, and then I'm going to tell her wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Wow, you're just going to contradict me right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
I see it as two parts. One, there was, and Gresh touched on this earlier, the legitimacy of having an organized group actually helped us be able to meet the requirements that the state park system had for camping in the primitive sections. One of the guidelines is that the primitive sections are for organized groups who have elected officers and meet regularly. Well, when we became a group, we had elected officers and we meet regularly in the woods. So that actually helped to give us a name for ourselves when we called and said, can we book a site in the primitive section? We could say that we were an organized group and we weren't just, you know, 10 friends that wanted to go camp. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped a lot to be able to meet those requirements. Secondly, it really was a cost factor when before we were a group, if someone wanted to host a hang, then they were coming out of their own pocket the money for the reservations, which could, you know, be, let's say, even up to $100 if you were going to have a 3-night, you know, camp out. Well, they're out of that money until the camp out, until the hang comes. And then the people who attended the hang would usually, you know, donate $5 or whatever to the host and help cover that cost. Well, that can be a lot of money for someone. And so we had the idea that if everybody gave a little bit up front, then we would be able to do more by working together. And so that was where the idea of the dues came in. If everybody that wanted to be a supporting member gave $20 up front at the beginning of the year, then we would have a pool of money to be able to host hangs all year long. And then those who aren't that aren't supporting members, who just want to come and attend the hangs, then they can donate $5 per hang, and that money goes back into the treasury to help replenish so that we have money to continue to do hangs. So it was a very practical reasons why we wanted to have an organized group, and that's the reason why we have the dues. It helps to pay for those hangs up front, and also we've been able to do some really cool things, like being able to sponsor a family to go to the Palmetto camp out that didn't have the registration money to be able to do that. Different things throughout the year, it gives us the money to be able to you know, do more fun things at our hangs. Like the last 2 years for Frozen Butt, we've actually roasted a whole pig, and we've been able to provide that, you know, through the funds to be able to provide a group meal at the hang. And we also did the same at Fall Sprawl, that we were able to provide a group meal. So some practical ways of just being able to make the hangs more fun and to get people out there.
She was pretty much right on the money, except I really wanted to be able to look at the roster and believe and pretend that people were paying money to be my friend.
Aww.
No, in all actuality, it's exactly what she said. It was a matter of practicality on my part. If we've got money in the kitty right off the bat, then we can do more later on down the road as that's grown. And I think it's important to point out that the money that we have, you know, in the bank, the money that we have in the kitty, is not from raffles. It's all from people joining or, you know, buying a t-shirt or a patch or something like that. It's all from people reaching out and saying, hey, this is a program that I support. This is a club that I support. And I would like to show you that with American money.
Hmm.
Right.
Now, outside of the hangs, or even including, does it fill a need?
I think it does educationally. I think that there's a lack of education in, I hate to say leave no trace, because I'm guilty of not doing that, but in low impact camping at a minimum. Mm-hmm. And I think that it fills a need where, say we're involved with the Palmetto camp out and we're doing a hammock demo and people come over, we have a captive audience at that point. And we can say, look, these are the reasons why we choose to use hammocks over tents. These are the benefits. These are the drawbacks. And so there's that opportunity for education that wasn't previously existing.
And you say you're not an activist.
Oh no, yeah. I'm not the president anymore. I'm active all day long.
And then who do you see joining a club like this? Is it, you know, your diehard backpacking folks, or is it, you know, the Weekend Warriors, or
it's or even... so diverse. Like, I can't even begin to tell you. We've got college professors. We've got people like Dawn who raise kids for a living. We've got people like me who ride a desk. You've got people. We've got a guy up in Myrtle Beach who owns and runs a liquor store. We've got, you know,
a librarian, just, an author. Yeah,
we've got people just across the spectrum. And it's that to me is really a testament to our success, is that we've got so many people from so many backgrounds that live so many various and diverse lives that come together to these things and don't murder each other. Like that. I mean, I know that sounds hyperbolic, but it really is. It's all these different people getting together, and you know, there's no cage match. We all get along, and that's a blessing.
I think that I noticed right away, for me, when I went to my first group hang, I felt like I found my tribe. These are my people. And I've heard so many people say something similar along those lines. And I think that what it really means is it's not that you found people that are just like you, but maybe you just found a group of people that are so different that you fit in a different kind of way. I think that all of us, or it seems like the vast majority of us, probably step in our own lives, we probably walk a little bit out of step of maybe the average person. But when we go to the woods together, we're all similar in the fact that we might be a little bit different than the average person. And I think that that's where we find camaraderie and enjoy one another's company. Yeah. I say we're just all a bunch of all of us are just a bunch of oddballs.
Well, I've said it before, we're camping nerds as it is.
It is, very much so. You
laugh. We have had a discussion of like a club D&D meeting. Don't judge.
It's very true. It's very true. And I know that when I went to my first group hang too, like you were saying, the camping nerds, it has its own language. And I remember everybody going around the circle and telling like what kind of hammock they had or what kind of tarp they had. And they were throwing out all these different terms as mamba jamba and whoopee slings and Hennessy. And I was like, did I just get dropped off in another country? I didn't understand anything going on. But I was accepted and not judged that I was hanging from paracord and, you know, didn't know what I was doing. I still own it.
I still judge you for it. So.
Oh yeah. My first tarp was a cannibalized rainfly off of a tent that I had added extra pieces to make it a tarp. And it did. It looked like a big top. It was bright yellow and orange and red and white, and I still have it. but our group as a whole, we don't have gear snobs. You know, everybody is like, you find what you like. And you know, it might be something you made. It might be something you bought. The most important thing is to get outside. Like Gresh says, just to get outside, get in the woods and enjoy it no matter what kind of gear you have.
Very cool. All right. So I'm convinced. I want to start a club. What advice would you give me? Knowing that I don't have any experience with putting together a club,
don't. There have been several that have reached out to us. I know Dawn and I have both been on the ground floor of this thing since day one. So she and I have kind of been the ones that have led the charge when people have reached out and said, "What can I do?" And it's either gonna go or it's gonna flop, and I hate to say it, but I feel like most of them have flopped because they didn't have the foundation that we had when we started. Mm-hmm. I think that X element, that unique thing that we had prior to being a club, is what's made us successful, and I think it's gonna take something a lot more to get something off the ground. However, I say that with the caveat that I've seen people really put in the effort, like Tar Heel State Hangers up in North Carolina. is that guy is really going balls to the wall and trying to get something off the ground and moving and shaking. And I'm really proud to see him doing what he's doing. There are a couple popping up, like North Carolina Hammock Hangers or NC Hammock Hangers, that are basically just a name with a couple followers on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But if you see somebody really pushing and really hustling, then I think that they're going to make it. And it's really just about networking at that point, I firmly believe.
A lot of promotion, putting a lot of work in, doing a lot of group hangs, getting people in there.
Like I said, our foundation was already built. Like, we had, you know, people willing and ready to step up, and we had all been hanging together off enough that we trusted one another to do the things that were going to be required. And so when somebody is starting something, one thing that I saw with a club that was trying to get off the ground, as it were, no pun intended, was that he was trying to do it all on his own. And I kept telling him, I said, man, you got to have a treasurer. You've got to have somebody you can bounce ideas off of. You've really got to have officers. You can't just be a dude starting a club. You've got to have a foundation. And he kept saying, you know, I'm trying to find somebody. And I didn't have the heart to tell him. I was like, man, trying ain't going to cut it. Like, you're not going to make it if you can't get a strong foundation built up upon which you can build a membership.
I think it definitely the club grew out of the group and not the other way around. Like Gresh said, we were a group that had started hanging regularly, and we developed real friendships. We weren't just friends when we went camping. We're friends all the time and keeping up with one another and our own personal lives throughout the times between when we would get to go hang, which social media helps tremendously with that, because we live all over the state from one another. And so we rarely get to see one another except for when we go to hangs. Occasionally, if people live close enough together, they might go out to dinner or something like that. But generally, you know, we're not actually getting to physically be together except in the woods. And so those real strong friendships that had developed were before the group was a club. So it grew out of a need. And so to start it on the other end of saying, okay, I want to start a club, my advice would be, you know, start hanging, and your club will grow from your group.
Get a group, then be a club.
Right.
Got it. Thank you.
That said, anybody that wants to reach out, I know Dawn and I and anybody that's yes. been, you know, on the you know, boots on the ground for Palmetto State Hangers, if you want to get a thing started, if you're listening, Dawn will probably do it for free because she's an officer. I charge a small fee, a consultancy fee. No, really, just reach out, and anybody is going to be happy to help.
And that was actually something that we talked about. One of the things that Gresh and I, when we first became an organized group, all of the decisions that we were making, we really were thinking beyond just ourselves. Gresh mentioned this earlier. We really were thinking, we're the first ones doing this, and what we do, other people may follow suit and do something similar. So a lot of the things that we kind of put into place were with the idea that it's not just for our group, but there might be people all across the country or even in other countries that might want to do something similar. So we tried to organize it in a way that could work anywhere. And also, when we had people start coming to us and saying, hey, I want to start something in my state, we actually talked about, well, what can we be of help and assistance to them? And we decided that the way that we can help is advising, being a sounding board, sharing how we started out and how we do things, and just being an encouragement to them to be able to start groups in their area.
One thing, if I can call him out by name, if not, just edit this out. But Mike Lyle, Tar Heel State Hangers up in North Carolina. I think he's really got the right idea for starting something up. He's in a neighboring state, and he comes down to the Palmetto State Hangers events, and he promotes his group. He's basically using our group, whether he knows it or not, which is fine. He's using our group as a stepping stone to his own club. He's got the group that we've created and using that to make his own club. And I think, like I said, whether he knows it or not, I think that's the most genius way to go about it. Mm-hmm. Because you've got a ready-made group in a neighboring state. All it takes is to get people from your state who attend these groups, the group hangs, to say, okay, let's branch off. Let's be a sister club. And that, right, to me, if anybody's going to make it work, it's going to be him because of the way he's going about it.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job. And the thing is, because they are in the next state, we're able to go to their hangs and support them and help grow their group as well. And so there's a lot of us going over into North Carolina and hanging with them. And then those people coming to South Carolina and hanging with us.
Georgia, this is me calling you out. You need to get your butts up here to South Carolina because you're missing out.
Yeah, it makes sense. Using the platform essentially to promote yourselves. I mean, you guys have been very generous to the podcast, as have a number of other groups in social media, allowing us to promote the podcast in the same way. And I think we have a shared interest, and we're both kind of promoting the same kind of thing. So I think it makes sense. And that's been a great way to kind of build things up. And it sounds like that's working for other people too.
We're all about anything that gets people outside and into the woods.
Yeah.
We live but to serve.
That's right.
Mark, for sure. You want to cover the round table?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So actually, we've been talking about all the group hanging and stuff. And in the past, we talk about cooking for ourselves, backpacking, a lot of dehydrating meals and alcohol stoves. How about cooking or food ideas for group camping?
Yeah.
I've seen on some of the boards people signing up, you know, what are you bringing? I'm bringing breakfast for Saturday and I'm bringing dinner for Friday night. What are some group food ideas that you're going to pass a dish?
Invest in bacon. Pork belly futures are going crazy right now. Invest in bacon. I know we particularly go through scads and scads and scads of bacon, to the point where we even have a midnight bacon tradition, where if you're awake at midnight, you're going to get bacon put in your face. But the potlucks have been overwhelmingly received positively. Mm-hmm. And that's people who want to show off their chops, as it were, you know, put something in a Dutch oven and hope it's not terrible and people eat it. I personally, if nobody's making anything, I go to Mountain House. Mountain House, if you're listening to this, that's a free plug. But it's a lot of people who are making more than what they can eat for themselves, so they just spread it around. And if you don't get some, well, then you should have got up earlier.
Yep. At our big hangs, we usually have at least one or two group meals, and that may be a potluck, like Gresh mentioned, or it may be where, let's say, the group's providing the meat and everybody brings some sides. Not only is it fun and you get to, you know, eat some really good food, it also serves the purpose of bringing everybody together for at least a few times during the weekend that helps promote group unity. And those things are planned on purpose because we want times where everybody's together and, you know, we get to enjoy a meal together. And food is just one of those things that in our culture, it brings people together. So
you ask about food ideas for yeah, group camps. One of the most popular things for a couple of years was cowboy stew. And it was basically, mm-hmm, if it came in a can or was made out, that's of right, meat, you put it in a stew, yep, pot or a Dutch oven. Ta-da! There's a meal that everybody can share. Yep.
Chili.
Chili. you know, anything like that is just a phenomenal idea. If it can fill up your Dutch oven, it can fill up somebody's belly. And then afterwards, you know, cobblers are phenomenal. I remember, and I'm sure everybody has the same exact recipe. But when I was a kid in Boy Scouts, it was, you take two cans of peaches, dump it in, you put two boxes of yellow cake on top, and you put two sticks of butter on top of that, all cut up, and there's your cobbler. I mean, it's dead easy. Everybody loves it. And if you're good at it, you'll make friends.
Right. One thing that we've been, the last few hangs, we always cook bacon. There's always bacon cooking at breakfast. And just a simple thing was someone who was with me started bringing a dozen eggs or two dozen eggs and a loaf of bread. Voila, you have bacon and egg sandwiches for breakfast. And those have gone over great. And you can feed a lot of people with a couple of dozen eggs and bacon and two loaves of bread.
I think there's a lot to be said for the mentality of, you know, this is not my loaf of bread, this is community bread. Because as soon as you get into the, you know, well, I'm not sharing, then the communism fails. And I know that sounds terrible, but you really have to have a kind of communist attitude toward food for group hang if you're going to, you know, have something that works that way. It's got to be what's mine is everybody's, and we're going to enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Right. Generally, there's always food, snacks, and things that people just bring and they'll put on the picnic table and say, "This is for anybody." You know, it's just community food that, you know, people can snack on or eat or you know, whatever. And I think it's just part of that sharing. People pick up an extra package of cookies and say, "I just brought these to share." It's just something nice to be able to. You know, you might not want to eat a whole bag of cookies, but you might want to eat a couple of cookies.
A couple of bags, yeah.
I'm sorry, Greshy's a couple of bags of cookies. Well, I can definitely do a hurting on a bag of Oreos, so it's good if I share those.
There you go. I think my favorite thing from doing group camping is when somebody brings a Dutch oven and a lot of oil and makes the donut holes. Have you guys ever done that?
I went on a group hang one time, and this was a different group, but here in the state, and I don't think he's doing anything anymore. He's kind of flaked out. But there was a group from Florida that used to come up, and somebody group, I don't know who to remember that much, but they were making beignets, and those were pretty phenomenal. And another thing that I've seen people make, it's our own, you know, world famous Captain Smiley, in fact, will make corn dogs, and everybody be guzzling up corn dogs, and that's, you know, bring oil and corn dog makings and you're going to have corn dogs. And it's people with that giving sort of attitude, like, I'm going to make food for everybody, that makes it work.
Yeah.
Almost every hang, I bring food in my food bag and I go home with almost the same food that I brought, because there's so much food that people have cooked and just have extra to share that most of the time I don't end up eating what's in my food bag.
I've got so many uncooked Mountain House meals in the trunk of my car right now. Mountain House, true. For when you need to keep something for a long-ass time. That's two Mountain House, send me free stuff.
That's funny. Yeah, I always liked the chili for that. Actually, same thing when I was in Scouts. I remember my dad always used to make... for the whole troop, our winter camp out, he'd always make a big pot of Manhattan clam chowder, which was something soup in the winter, being outside, I always enjoyed.
The pancakes that come in the little shake-up bottles,
yes.
you can't beat those.
No. Actually, you can even make your own with those, with just with the instant mix stuff in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, that sounds like something poor people would do. I just want the bottle.
Poor or cheap? I'm a little bit of from cheap. Column A, a little from column B.
So. All right. Well, Gresh and Junebug, thank you guys so much for sharing your time and your experience and your knowledge. I know we're really grateful that you gave us some time. I know I always come up a little straight-laced. You guys are having a great time, and it's nice to be witness to such a great relationship.
Stop talking over me, Dawn. I'm trying to be nice to the people.
I can't see your lips moving.
Trying to be nice to the people. We want them to like us. Really, you guys come down and hang out with us anytime. You could do a remote broadcast. It would be phenomenal.
That would be amazing.
I've had a tremendous time being on the show, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on here and participate, because it's really been a colossal time. You guys are fun.
Yes.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
One of the things I oftentimes see in the forums and on the Facebook pages for people who are interested in hammock camping is they're getting their hammock, especially if it's a Hennessy. That seems to be a common one.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question is, so what suspension should I put on this hammock that already has suspension on it?
Right. Yeah, and it's tough, one of those things, because it's hard to find out what works for you until you actually try it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people have, they have 5 hammocks and 15 different types of suspension.
Wow, that many.
I'm just pulling numbers out of the air.
Yeah, I know. Well, what did your hammock come with? You got your Yukon. You had a Woot Yukon from a few years ago, right?
Yeah, I have the old double that's still going strong. And I think it came with, it wasn't even continuous loops. It was like a 3/8 nylon braided cord or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was just tied in a knot. And then a big, this thing had to have weighed 6 or 7 ounces, big carabiner. But I don't even know. I think it was one of the screw carabiners. I even have it somewhere in here, in my gearbox or something. But yeah, I don't even think I ever tried it.
You switched right away.
Yeah, I never even tried it. I mean, at least the way they did it, the rope that came with it was just through, it's just a sewn channel. So right. It was very easy to swap out. And, it's almost like that. They put something, at that time, I know they've changed it since then, but I sort of like it being just something thrown on there on the old ones, because I didn't feel bad about taking it off and putting something that, works for me and what I like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know some of the cheaper hammocks, like the ones you get from Walmart and stuff. Like, we had a couple of scouts who had some, and it was pretty embarrassing. It was like that 1/2-inch, 3/4-inch nylon rope or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a polyester rope. At least it was a polyester rope, but they ran it through the channel with like a lark's head, and then they just tied a series of knots onto it, and then they had one of those threaded rings that you'd get at Home Depot. And then they had another one that you would supposedly lark's head onto the tree with another series of knots on it. So you would just connect the one rope to the other rope on the tree, which was really awful. It didn't seem really well thought out at all. And I ended up, when I saw those, what we ended up doing was we took the one long rope, because it was a pretty sturdy rope, mm-hmm. did kind of what you're talking about. We pulled it all apart, put a bowline at the end, put it in, ran it through the sewn channel. But because it was simple, we just got, we made some homemade tree huggers, and I showed him how to hang the Hennessy style.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually kind of a nice, simple way to kind of get it started. You just do the over under the figure eight lashing.
Yes.
And so we didn't have to worry about him buying more hardware. It was easy to teach him how to do it, and he's got something that, that will hold up or that he can change out, but he didn't have to feel like he got something and had to get rid of it. So that wasn't too bad of a kind of a step up from kind of that, I don't want to describe it the way I would normally describe it in conversation. It was just embarrassing how, you've got this thing that's supposed to be a camping hammock, but it just, it wasn't thought through.
Yeah, well, it's also, a lot of the ones from Walmart, are they more meant for just hanging in the backyard where you're going to have maybe a couple poles or something, screw some eye bolts on and clip it on?
You know what? Darn it. It says camping hammock on the bag.
Oh, well.
What am I I mean, what are we supposed to do, you know? I mean, you got to take them at face value, and if they're asserting that they're a camping hammock, you should be able to camp in it.
You would think. You would think. Camping hammock, not for overnight use.
There you go. That's the spirit.
Hey, just pulling stuff out of the air.
Yeah. Now, I like some of the options that we've seen from some of the manufacturers in terms of trying to make things simple, like Eno and Yukon and a few of the other manufacturers have those daisy chains.
Yes.
You know, where you put the loop around the tree with the webbing, and then it's just got a series of sewn-in loops. That's just so drop-dead simple. A lot of times people, you know, are kind of confused about what this whoopee sling thing is and what are these marlin spike hitches. And sometimes you got to have something drop-dead simple. I think we've talked about in the show before how, you know, the simpler it is for somebody, the easier or more accessible it is to get started.
And yeah, I think especially with the hammocks and all, because it's so customizable, everything is, and it can be a little overwhelming if you don't know what everything is. And you know, even if you get on the forums and jump on YouTube, it could take a long time before you get your head around it. Yeah. Especially if nobody else that you know you may be going camping on your own, or nobody else is interested in hammocks. So if you're on your own or don't have somebody that's more experienced in it working with you, it can be a little intimidating. So to have something that's cut and dry, you wrap it around the tree, you've got these loops, you take your beaner, clip it on, bam, you're done.
Yeah. It's even simpler than the buckles, cinch buckles.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's definitely something to make it simple for somebody to get them sucked in.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I know, you know, I have made a couple of modifications to my Hennessy, but the one I think I'm most satisfied with was switching from the standard Hennessy setup to the whoopee slings. And that seems to be a pretty common thing I've heard a lot of people talk about, is going to whoopee slings.
Yep. Yeah, I went to a whoopee sling as well, and I love it. I love it. You know, I know there's a lot of people that like the webbing or buckles or all different things. Mm-hmm. But I like the whoopee slings. I'm happy with them.
And you do it with a whoopee hook or marlin spike hitch? Or how are you approaching the webbing?
The one end is just slipped through the channel on the gathered end. Mm-hmm. Mark's head through. And then the other end, I got the tree straps with a marlin spike.
Okay.
And then my toggle is just a arrow shaft that I cut down from, you know, I got them, they were cut offs, got them for free from Gander Mountain.
Yep.
From when they do adjustments, they just give them to you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that they do that. I have something similar. I got a pair of the whoopee hooks for a few bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got an open loop at the end of my hammock that's lark setted on, just a small loop. And the reason I did that as opposed to just larks heading the whoopee sling on was that I wanted to be able to hang in a much shorter distance trees.
Okay.
And you've got that the extra length of the berry at both end on those whoopies that can kind of, especially with you, because you've got such a long hammock, sometimes it can lock you out of trees that are hanging a little bit too close together. I can just simply choose to not use the whoopies and put the fixed loop right on the webbing with the standard marlin spike and actually leave the whoopies in my, you know, stuff sack for my hammock.
Yeah, that does make sense. Gives you another option there.
It does. It does. I haven't used it a lot because my hammock's a little shorter, so that already makes it a little bit easier to get in between trees. Usually I feel like, especially like going to parks and stuff, it always feels like the trees are farther apart than I like, as opposed to too close together.
Right.
But being able to have some flexibility there, either on one side or both, it just gives you a little bit more opportunity to hang.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you more options and all, so that's always good.
Have you ever played with mule tape?
No, I have not, but it does seem to be getting more and more popular. I'm seeing it a lot more now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's originally used by like electricians and stuff, right? For pulling cabling through conduit, that type of thing?
To be honest, I don't know.
I think that's where it comes from. I'm sure a listener will write in if I'm wrong, but I think what they do is they'll actually wrap that around the end of cabling, and you push or pull the mule tape through conduit. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. Like if it, if the conduit's already run, you can blow it through with a blower. I've actually seen some setups where you put a little teeny parachute at the end of a string, seriously, and you essentially use the equivalent of a hairdryer to push the string through all the way through your conduit, and then you use the string to pull the mule tape, which is really high strength, and then you use the mule tape to run to pull your cable.
Okay.
Especially because you need something really strong. Like if you're pulling fiber optic cable or some kind of a shielded cable through conduit when you're pulling it on premises, it can be really heavy.
Oh, okay. I get it.
So, but yeah, it's kind of neat. It seems like the simplest way of all of the ways to do it. You know, you've got your mule tape, and I guess conceivably you could, I don't know what you do with the other end of the mule tape. I think you could put the mule tape around the tree, right? Are you allowed?
I believe so. I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
I forgot to research that. Dope.
No, I can't do everything.
Yeah. But I guess I know I'm pretty happy with what I've got for suspension right now.
Yeah, me too. I'm real happy. I don't see me changing. Even if I change hammocks or anything, I'll probably stick with the Whoopies.
Yeah. Oh, here's a nerdy factoid for you. Hammock campers did not invent the Whoopie slings.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, a little research. John's doing some research. Yeah, apparently they'd been used in the arborist industry for years when they're cutting down trees. I saw a video of an arborist using a Whoopie swing, but with like a 2-inch braided cord. I mean, this thing was the size of a kid's wrist almost, and it was spliced into a Whoopie sling, and it was going around, you know, the trunk of a tree.
Right,
and it was made so that when you drop the tree, the Whoopie sling was holding the branch in place or whatever. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
So a little heavyweight for what a hammock camper might use, but it was pretty neat nonetheless.
Yeah, just a touch, and sort of tough to get in your stuff sack too.
Yeah, no kidding. So next month, Mark, I'm really kind of psyched. We've got somebody who has been around the block a few times.
Just a bit, and who might that be?
Paul Gibson. He is the head guy over at Arrowhead Equipment.
Yeah, that should be a great episode there. Great interview. We all see him on the forums and all, and they make some great gear. Another one of our cottage vendors.
Yeah, and he's been around forever. He was one of the first ones making underquilts. He made underquilts for Hennessy hammocks that actually had the slot on the bottom of them for the bottom entry.
Yes.
Which, interestingly enough, nobody does now. Even Hennessy doesn't do that.
Yeah, but if you want to get yours sewn up, you can do that.
You're such a tease.
So, Jonathan, we have a few more comments from our listeners this month.
Oh, great.
So, starting off, we have Chef Keith on the Hammock Forums. Had a comment on episode 15. Listen to the episode today. I have to say it was fantastic. Lots of interesting stuff, even if you're familiar with Leave No Trace. This podcast never ceases to amaze with the quality of guests they secure. Definitely something I plan to donate to. Keep up the good work, guys. And then on Facebook, we have Joan on the Leave No Trace episode 15. Great episode. Thanks for talking hammock techniques and having such a knowledgeable guest.
Yeah, that's cool. We had a great guest there.
Yeah, and also, you know, I was really happy with it because it does, you know, it affects everybody, whether you're hammock, ground dweller, just outside for the day hike and all. So, and it's something that's important. So I thought, you know, I definitely thought it was a good episode.
Okay.
And then lastly, Don on our website, the Hang Your Own Hang website, just got a chance to hear the podcast and loved it. Lots of good advice on camping out in the wintertime. Down here in Texas, we don't really get cold like they do up north, but cold is cold. It's just a matter of degree.
so to speak, and yep, pun intended. As to what you need to do to stay warm, now how about going the opposite direction and gather together some voices from those of us in Texas who have a butt bake every year in the wilds of East Texas in late July when the temps are in the triple digits. I think folks will get something out of that. Thanks for the work on this and keep it up.
Wow, that's great. Some great comments there. Definitely keep it coming, especially in iTunes where it affects our ratings. When we get a comment or somebody rates us well, that actually drives us up. It gives us more visibility in the directories, especially in the iTunes directory where we see a lot of our listeners. So it definitely is important, and we appreciate the folks who are out there and who are interacting with us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and keep them coming on all social media. And that's the show for this month. As always, you can find us at www.hyohpodcast.com or on our Facebook page at HYOH Podcast. If you like what you hear, please give us a positive review on iTunes, or even better, you can join our growing team of Patreon sponsors.
Yeah, Mark, we keep getting asked to go bi-monthly. Imagine covering two cool hammock topics every month. That's the number one request in our social connections from our listeners. If you want to join our supporters who donate monthly, you can find the link to our Patreon campaign on our website homepage, or buy us a cup of coffee by going directly to http://www.hyohpodcast.com/donate and making a donation of either type.
So did you see the new hammock designs that one of this month's episode sponsors, Yukon Outfitters, put on their website? Looks like we're starting to see a lot more use of printed fabrics, like the psychedelic hammock that they co-designed with the folks from Sweaty Bands, or the series of custom printed hammock designs in their Vista series.
Yeah, and I thought their 12 Days of Christmas giveaway with all of the neat winter designs was really great. It seems like the industry is really getting more inclined to meet the interesting design tastes of their customers.
Too true. Check out their existing line or some of their new designs at www.yukonhammocks.com. That's www.yukon-hammocks.com.
Our other episode sponsor for this month, Hote Hammock, has a Kickstarter that's coming up to its funding date of January 11th. I've mentioned how much I love my t-shirt and how creative their designs are, but they've actually created some really special designs for this Kickstarter campaign.
Yep, I went and checked them out. The t-shirt called Standout really calls to me. It's a cool design that subtly says how special hammock camping is.
Yeah, my favorite from the Kickstarter, and the design actually chose to back the Kickstarter for, has to be the American Buffalo. I guess I've got a soft spot for my hometown, but it's an awesome design and worth showing off your love for the outdoors. If you're interested, check out the link in the show notes. Go to www.hotehammock.com. That's www.hautehammock.com.
Since we're thanking our sponsors, we should also acknowledge some of those folks who have become patrons or donated to our show. Thanks much this month to Sam Hinton for your donation. Jonathan and I are totally going to Tim Hortons this weekend. Glad to hear you're binging on our podcast, and thanks so very much for the suggestion for the podcast. As always, if you want to comment or have a question, please visit our Facebook page, or you can send me an email at mark@hyohpodcast.com.
And me at jonathan@hyohpodcast.com. Finally, special thanks to Skid Von Ark for allowing us to use his music for our intro and our outro, and to ITX for hosting our podcast. Thanks everyone out there for hanging around. Open my eyes, and what did I see? A man from Minnesota swinging tree to tree. A thin piece of fabric suspended in the air. Should I even try it?
Or should you even dare? Had two straps and a couple of toggles. How this would even work, my mind began to boggle. Yeah.